So with that, the four, and there are no pay applications this month.
We do them all in one. Or do we have to do them individually? I'll start it off. Then I'm going to make a motion to approve change number 16R2 for $25,125.
Is there a second?
Second.
Steve's made the motion to approve change order number 16. Is there any, Cheryl seconded, any additional questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. So that motion carries. Change order number 17, please.
I'll make the motion to approve change order number 17. For $3,557.14.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Cheryl's made the motion to approve change order number 17. Eric has seconded. Further questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. Change order number 18, please.
I'll make a motion that change order number 18 be approved. Establishing a milestone.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so Larry made the motion to approve change order number 18. Seconded by Steve. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. That motion passes. And finally, change order number 19.
I'll make a motion to approve change number 19 for $80,000.
I'll second.
Steve made the motion. Larry has seconded to approve change order number 19, any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. So that change order number 19. That's where we are with the water plant. We're getting near the end for substantial completion, but still several months away from. Next item up on capital improvement is the airport, and we have DGR here, so. David, if you would like to give us an update.
Yeah, thank you. David with DGR Engineering and Whitney's Bay Schneider has been our on-site project representative for the project. I wanted to give you a quick project update. They have placed all their gravel. If you remember, 28 inches thick, so a lot of truss, a lot of gravel. They have all that placed. They began paving last Wednesday and Thursday and did some paving today. They have about 40% of the paving completed. Most of the runway is covered. The turnaround is paved. What's left is the apron and taxiway connecting the runway apron. Next couple of weeks, they're hoping to finish paving this week, weather depending. Some topsoiling along the shoulders. There was safety area grading they had to do. The FAA mark that corrected. They'll install their taxiway lighting, do some electrical work, and then pavement markings. It's a little bit further out, but it's all this. Regarding weather, Dunnick has asked for a time extension due to all the rain. Last 2-3 weeks, it's kind of hard to tell right now to give a specific number of days. So we're just kind of watching that. It's more for your information. There's no time extension, official time extension right now. So if weather clears up, they might be able to catch up. The days might get narrowed. There might be more rain days. So the time extension will probably be warranted in the future, but just give you guys a heads up on that. And then lastly, in front of you is pay application number 5. This is for work through June 28th, so there's no paving on right now. It's gravel. It's mainly gravel. But if there are any questions,
no, I think so. The paving has started a little late, and but once they get rolling, they roll pretty good. So I think the airport, the Bonneville Choir's Club is Wednesday, I think. I'm trying to dissuade them from actually meeting there. I don't know how much luck we'll have, so, but I know they're happy. So, yeah, I think we're going good. We are, as David said, about a time extension. They're waiting on the paving. But we will ensure that the council members, 22, 23, 24 July, knowing where everybody's at, because that's about the time frame we're looking at the action that to be a special meeting. As you recall, their timeline when we started this would have ended about the end of July, beginning of August. So we obviously need to meet before the next meeting to do anything. We're not talking about a large time extension here. We're probably in the neighborhood of 2 weeks like that to account for the June weather. The good news is to that, though, is also that all the drainage worked very well.
Yeah, these edge drains are full of water and good in them, I guess. They're working.
So they're doing what they were designed to do. And
they have not abandoned the project because of the rain. They're still doing everything they can. So they can be working. So just wanted to add that.
So no, it's working out very well. So any other questions for David? And then we'll action pay application. Obviously, $170,000, so they've got some work done. So, next one will probably be big because that one will probably include a little more asphalt.
Yep.
Not seeing any other questions. Thank you for coming. And, sir, action on the pay application number 5, please.
I'll make a motion to approve pay number 5 for $870,000.
$783.15. Okay, so Steve made the motion to accept Dunning pay application number 5, seconded by Larry. Any further questions or discussions on the pay application? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So that pay application is completed. Thank you guys for sticking around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the next items. Old business. Abandoned properties.
I have an update for public session.
Okay. So we will deal with that in executive on those two properties. Again, the thing with Richie's and Preston Riggs property, which is over here on 7th Street, those are under the county's tax deed sale. So they are responsible for the cleanup and the mowing, which we contacted the county about Riggs last week, and they got it mowed. So they're the ones dealing with that. Okay, next item up is the capital infrastructure plan 2026-2023. That was tabled from last month. So in order to continue any discussion at this time, it would need to be taken off of the table. First,
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Okay. So Larry made the motion and Steve has seconded to take that the 2026-2030 capital infrastructure plan off of the table and return to discussion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Caitlin, are you with, did you catch that?
Yeah. Hi, sorry, I'm dealing with some craziness.
Those opposed names, so. All right, that discussion is back off of the table. Again, we're not under a gun to approve or deny anything tonight, so is there any further discussion on that that's been off for?
Yes. I was reading through on page 22, and I don't know if this is the place that I would like to bring this up, but one of the recommendations it talks about for the storm sewer fund that we should establish, and it talks about to generate some revenue and identify that monies to be used for that project. Is there a, and I don't know if this is where this should be addressed or not, we can add like a bed, bath, or excuse me, bed, breakfast, booze tax.
Yeah.
And target for sewer drainage.
So the specific name tax is municipal. I don't have a specific name. I don't know what it is.
That's what everybody calls it. I'm not sure.
That's the slang name.
I don't know if that's an option or not.
Yeah, to my understanding, you know, towns are, and they are using that big and small. We're probably on the bottom third that haven't implemented any of it. You can implement portions of it. You don't have to do all three or four things in it. And you can earmark that money. Obviously, we don't know how much that is, but for a specific purpose or project, but
yeah, I've not necessarily dealt with that at too many times, so it's
that I have to look at. Tourism tax?
Is that the main one? So, Wagner just did theirs. You can do it either with, I think if you implement it, it either starts July 1 or January 1, so.
I've talked with the finance officer and Wagner, and I need to touch back with her. She was going to send me all the information.
And I'm just wondering if that's something that maybe this could help address some of the issues that we have in town with a lot of the drainage.
It's definitely a possibility as we have the curb and gutter, which helps significantly, but as it ages, things change, streets change, buildings go up, it changes that, so it doesn't need to be maintained like anything else. Certainly have no frame of reference, so to understand what the revenue number would be. So any change like that certainly would not be a magic fix up front, but it could be a longer term.
It's understandable. Yeah. It's just something I was wondering about implementing.
Yes. That is something that we can search for the future. I don't know what the exact timeline looks implemented by the 1st of January, but obviously we need to start the discussion, and that's probably a good place to start it. Any other we want to continue? Again, we're not under the gun to approve this now. We obviously want to keep tracking out a little bit, but at some point we're going in the budget session and have a starting point, so. And it has been out in the public for a while now, so I haven't got any comments back on it myself, so I'm not sure if anybody's looking at it. We have three actions we could do, tonight, so either approve, table, or table again until next month. Or we deny it, and I certainly don't see any reason for denying it, but
can we add? Because not only do we have issues on 8th and Mabel, but we also have some issues up by the Reformed Church area. Can we kind of do just an area to kind of investigate and research some of these areas and put that in our plan?
I'm not sure that this plan is intended to be that specific.
Okay.
Not like that specific. Area?
Well, not really an area, just kind of an overview of different areas that we have in the town that we have an issue in the alley by my place. And a building goes up, and now the alley is getting washed out. And there's that issue. There's issues we have up by the Reformed Church. There's, you know, different places in town. I'm just wondering if we could kind of lump that different areas together and research those areas. Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
Yeah, it'll almost be like one down there by Green, right?
Yeah.
That it, yeah.
No, I mean, I understand. I'm not sure that's...
Just food to plant, I guess.
And again, this is reviewed every year, so it's not like we've done this now or something, and it's done. We can revisit this at any time. So it's just a starter. It's our starting point on everyone. So, I think that is. I'm not sure if we want to hold it up now for it, since we can revisit it down the road.
So is this something like at every meeting that we will start addressing, you know, a little bit at a time?
Well, an annual review.
Okay, just annually we do that?
Do it, but then that doesn't mean that there aren't breakouts that you can do periodically during the year to get those updates, so it's not all looked at once. So the stormwater would be a very good one to start.
I wondered if doing that, reviewing it not December, about January. So then there's plenty of time to go through it, and then it's done and revisited and ready to go by the time the budgeting comes on. So if we do that, then that would be in another 6 months.
So it is an option to get it going, is to take it now or approve as is, and add that. That's our date window. We're going to do it in January to lead into the following year's budget, because that's usually right in that time frame where we have those priorities and those decisions done to get into the funding request cycle for the next year's out years. Is most things start to be due August time for, or not August, but April time frame for these other. So that's, we would want to have that done so that we could prioritize money. So that would make sense to me. And that we can, essentially we can do two things tonight. If you choose to go ahead and approve the one that we have, that's our starting point, understanding it's flexible, and make the decision that on the municipal calendar, that's per month. This is in January, annually, and then we can start getting every agency or whoever has input so that we can start leading up to that. That's an option, I think.
Usually we are able to do some more investigation into the current.
That one probably gets a little more specific than what's necessarily in a capital infrastructure plan like this, but yeah, that becomes more specific, and that would certainly be something that would pop up as a priority eventually on funding, certainly. Without a nowhere to go.
Yeah, because what is it? I do agree with Cheryl that, you know, some of the places definitely need to have some more investigation into it and find out did the city mess up, or did the engineers mess up, or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would probably put it this way. I don't think anybody's messed up. I think it's just as time has marched on and things have changed, it's just, you know, different from what it may have been designed 20, 30, 40 years ago. The design, you know, the time has changed. More buildings have gone up. And our stormwater system, again, is you have your water system, fresh water, you have your sewer system, and then you have stormwater. Everybody deals with water and sewer. Stormwater is something that's just not a thing. So that's good to start adding it. Caitlin, do you have any comments on it?
No, I don't. I guess I'd probably, I'd have to sit down and talk further with you guys about everything because I'm getting parts of it.
Okay, with that, we don't have, you know, too much more specific discussion, at least at this point. Is this something you want to approve or table? Better answer. I would probably suggest if it's tabled, that's tabled because we want to address a specific timeline. But again, it's a fluid document, so it can be adjusted at any time. Do that. Yeah, and we do need to start someplace.
I like the idea about somebody tabling it and then, you know, going it with that certain timeline of what it, you say 1 January or something like that. You could review it periodically at meeting. We need help to do so.
In order to review, we have to accept it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's all.
Well, then, if that's the case, then I'm going to make the move that, or the motion that we, what would the word say to move it?
Okay. So, and then, so Steve made the motion as presented, I'm going to say. So, again, it's fluid. So Steve has made the motion to approve this plan as presented, 2026 to 23 capital infrastructure plan as the starter. We'll deal with the actual timeline here after that. Is there a second to continue that discussion? Change to table. Yeah, it's not written in stone, so it's something that we can come back to. We have to come back to annually.
I'll second that.
And so Larry made the second to do that. Now discussion on any other portions of the plan. As is presented, it is publicly available, so you can get it on the website and post it. And once we take it out, obviously it's March now, so then we can go on and edit this. And annually, I should not say it.
Annually as in January, not annually as of today's date.
Annually as. That's where it comes from. Other discussion, comments? Move forward with the appeals board with the approval now. We will put it on for January. But obviously, there can be portions that are discussed as we go on every month or every quarter. Can be a theme. To get it updated, and it is for right now. It's not set in stone, obviously, but as we kind of learn how this thing works and mature it, that becomes our guide. And, any other discussion? Okay, so the motion's on the table. Steve, seconded by Larry, to approve the 2026 to 2030 capital infrastructure plan as presented. Those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. Okay, so that plan is accepted and we'll update that from a draft. And we will place them as the annual review being in January. And that does not mean that's a one-time thing for discussion. It becomes an ongoing guide to start helping us prioritize our needs. Okay. So the next item up, thanks guys. The next item up, we're going to get into a little deeper. This was kind of a short-term turn that involves a zoning discussion and our zoning ordinance, which should lead to potential change to zoning and building pieces. City attorney has taken this on this last week and started going through this kind of quickly developed based upon a building permit that was put in and trying to do a variance and once you got into it, it became pretty obvious once people walked us through that that's not really something that we can do with what we have and not the right way. We've discussed some of this in the past, so I don't think anything new will be new here in this discussion as far as making some updates. There's a couple, three things in here that come into play, and like I said, I'll let the attorney talk about it. One is certain buildings, ordinances, and our zoning. Another is the move to a conditional use permit versus what we have now, which is special purposes. So with that, you have a fairly large packet, a fairly large piece. And I will turn it over to the city attorney.
So the question was posed to me based on a request by a resident to put in a shop building or a garage-type building in a residential area. It also happens to be on a corner lot. There's a few different things at play here. When you talk about planning and zoning, you're talking about things such as setbacks. It's a distance from the property of the boundary of the property that a building can be built. You're also talking about height requirements, square footage requirements. Can't be more than such a percentage of the lot, for instance, and things like that in the building. And those are all things that we would normally look at when considering a request for a variance. Variances, generally speaking, zoning circumstances deal with the case law terms it demonstrable hardship. If a hardship can be demonstrated that makes a piece of property unusable but for a variance to the planning and zoning code, then boards should consider variances. Hardship means hardship. Hardship doesn't necessarily mean my garage isn't big enough for my camper. And so variances in general are or should be under the case law in South Dakota pretty difficult to obtain. And there are standards that are set forth, even in the ordinance as it exists, that a board has to make particular findings before granting a variance, right? So that's height, width, shape. That's what we talk about when we're talking about variances. As it's termed in the existing ordinance, they're called special exceptions, but the standards there and the process there is almost identical to what cases and most zoning codes now call conditional uses. Special exceptions, it seems like a lot of towns that still have the term special exceptions were early adopters of some zoning codes that probably use a special exception terminology in the first place. So I'm going to talk about them as conditional uses just because that's what I'm used to. But so when we're talking about requests for conditional uses, those are things that your zoning code specifically outlines as uses. So in your zoning code, you have permitted uses. The residence area, a dwelling, is a permitted use. Period, no ifs, ands, and buts. You also have accessory uses, which if you have, because you have a primary structure, you may also have an accessory structure for this particular use. Garage, for instance, lawnmower shed. And then there's those conditional uses, which are the board can look at and consider specific things that may be allowed if certain conditions are met by the person building. For instance, one of the special exceptions noted for a residential area, I believe, is a home office or a facility or something like that. And it has, so long as there is off-street parking, so long as there's these other conditions, it must be met. So the requests for conditional uses or special exceptions can be granted if and only if they are defined in your existing code. Then there's amendments. A lot of times, let me take a step back, excuse me. There's another portion of your code as it exists, and I've tried to beef it up a little bit in what's recommended here. It's sort of a catch-all. So if a request comes in for a conditional use that is substantially similar in all respects to a listed conditional use, then generally speaking, you wouldn't necessarily need an amendment to approve that. That can just go through the traditional process and says, okay, we'll say it. But for instance, it's a nursing facility, if it's a daycare facility with the same street parking and things like that. Daycare is not listed on there, but it's really, really close to something that is listed, then that doesn't necessarily need an amendment, and that's something important. If a request comes in from a resident that for a use that is not on the list of approved conditional uses, and it's not substantially similar, then really the only way to allow for that is by amending the ordinance. And it's that goes through a process, and not only is it two readings, but you have a planning commission, and you should, a planning and zoning commission, and you should, then they are involved in that process. There's public hearings that have to come in when you're talking about amending the zoning ordinance, because an amendment will affect every, that becomes a new listed conditional use that anyone can apply to, right? So with that as the background, I've come up with a draft of an ordinance change, sort of based on this discussion. Now, in order to, there's, my understanding is what has currently been requested in the immediate future that precipitated this amendment is a garage facility, a shop structure in a residential area. And because of that, there's not currently a special exception listed that would allow for a garage or shop structure in a residential area. It's also not substantially similar to anything that is currently allowed in a residential area. And I believe there's also a variance component that would be required as well because of the size of the structure. Okay. But that's apart from and separate from the use piece. a storage facility or a shop garage, may be an accessory use, but you can only have an accessory use on a property if there is a primary use under your existing code. And that's traditionally how most zoning codes operate. The concern is, if there is an amendment to allow for a shop structure in a residential area, then every empty lot in the city could very quickly be filled with shop structures rather than new houses being built. Purpose of the zoning code is planning zoning. It's to protect the future development of the city and to make sure that you don't have, industrial facility in the middle of a residential area. Right? A couple of things that you do have to watch out for from a legal perspective are spot zoning. So you can't rezone one lot in an island of other areas. That is generally impermissible. So that is a concern. By granting variances or special exception conditional uses outside of what's defined in your code, you can very quickly destroy your ordinance to the purpose. Because then that becomes precedent that may be relied upon in action against the city at some point. And if you let one person do it, you might have to let everybody. So the purpose of the zoning code is to look to the future, and to protect the infrastructure of the city, right? Specifically with regard to the changes that have been made here, the request from mayor's office, I looked at making a conditional use for what I've identified and defined as an isolated accessory structure. That definition is basically an accessory structure that would normally be an accessory structure, but it's not on the same lot as a primary residence. And in the additional use section, I would list an isolated accessory structure as being potential conditional use under certain conditions, those being that the owner of the isolated accessory structure must also own a dwelling in town, even if it's not connected in city limits, it has to otherwise apologize.
If you have it on your handout, you go to off the fourth or fifth page in there. Item, the first starts under definition, so it's going as item bullet number 7.
There are one residential. Single family residential, excuse me. That would be additional uses or special exception there. Isolated accessory structure.
So we're allowing in an R1 single family dwellings, somebody could put up a shed on a vacant lot.
That is what is up for consideration if you adopt this.
Okay. As long as they have a primary residence.
Well, you also got to remember our R1 is what's located longer. That's our R1 district. Everything else is R2 or R3.
the right now, the definition for R2 conditional uses includes everything that is a conditional use in R2. So this would also be R2 as well. if you got it. So the conditions there are that the owner of the isolated lot also owns a dwelling. That the accessory structure is not used for any commercial or industrial purpose, application, or endeavor that would not otherwise be permitted in the zoning district in which it's located. So home-based businesses can be permitted in residential areas, but a professional garage is not. A motorcycle repair facility and stuff. Those sorts of things.
So there's nothing, though, and I'm not talking this issue, I'm talking about future. There's nothing that when that garage, we approve this and we let this garage get built, and let's say it's just down the street here, not commercial, R3 or an R1, and that garage, pretty soon, it gets sold. Then how do we determine that next buyer, do you see where I'm going? You can't determine that. And then we may have a garage that somebody lives in Tyndall, Avon, or Yankton. You know, it's like an R1 area.
That's exactly and precisely. That is...
Those are things that we need to think about before we proceed. Yes.
They're out of caution.
Yes.
In your consideration. The third condition that I had drafted in this is that all isolated accessory structures shall conform to the same yard requirements as dwellings. So whereas you have, if you're in an R1.
Okay.
And you have your primary residence, you may also have an accessory structure that is a private garage. And that private garage can be built up to 2 feet from the rear lot. So, for instance, you can build right up on the alley if it's a private garage and you have the primary residence. A private garage meaning the accessory structure, you have the primary residence. The way this is drafted would mean that an isolated accessory structure cannot be built up to that 2 foot line. It has to maintain 1 foot.
So are we saying that, and this is, I kind of like the idea, if I'm following you correctly, that if we allow this to be built, okay, so let's say we allow this garage in R1 to be built, but that garage, there still has to be enough room. So if somebody down the road wanted to build like a small dwelling, they can do that. There's going to, the garage can't take up the whole lot, or lot and a half. There still has to be room, so there could be maybe a small dwelling built down the road.
Well, not necessarily, because the dwelling is not permitted to be built within 2 feet.
That's what I'm saying, but to the accessory structure, that's what I'm saying, is there something in here that we could kind of manipulate, so there's like a small dwelling. You know, I'm not saying you have to build a 1,200 square foot house, but, you know, tiny homes are popular now.
So what are you saying?
No accessory building that's isolated.
Mm-hmm.
So this apply to separate parcel. You have to build it to the lot specifications as if it was a primary purpose, not an accessory purpose. So, you know, your 20-foot setbacks and all that kind of stuff. Whereas right now, if you're building an accessory building on a lot or a parcel that has a primary purpose, a house, that garage could be 2 feet from the alley. If it's isolated, it cannot. It has to be 1 foot. So to understand your question, to do that, but you need to somehow leave room for a primary purpose.
In case down the road, like the example I gave, in the future, if that building comes for sale and somebody comes into town, they would have room to build a smaller home.
You'd have to establish an arbitrary number of X number of square feet.
Right.
For a future structure.
Right.
Would you have to build? What about, I guess?
Well, they would have to, but if somebody wanted the option eventually, I think that's where I'm going, is we need to look at the future, too. Not
but
just
then,
the
also, you know, say if I bought their property and this building, and say, like, would I be able to possibly, do I have to build or can I move either, say, maybe a small trailer, mobile home in there?
No, that's,
mobile, that would be no.
Mobile homes are already defined.
Yeah.
But they would actually have to build a home.
But if they lived in town, according to what was said, it's not
efficient. Yeah, I understand that. They have to live in town, but yet they can build on their property. Is that correct?
If this is adopted in the way it's written, then in order to build an isolated accessory structure, a person has to also have a dwelling residence in town and city limits.
Okay.
It's own dwellings where they have to reside in
own dwellings. So it's
tracking. I would reside in the dwelling being more favorable. Because they could own a dwelling and live in the community.
Well, then you're into, now you start looking at situations like an Airbnb. So somebody comes in, they buy a house, it's an Airbnb. They don't live in it. They own the property in town, but they're not living in the primary. You know, then they can get another lot to put up storage that's not isolated. So that would be a potential outcome. The definition, I guess, the gray area, he says, yeah, they physically own a dwelling in Springfield, but they don't live in. So is that a thing? We don't necessarily figure out who lives where. So
this, as it stands right now, this is a draft document. I've tried to accommodate what was requested. There certainly needs to be changes to it.
And the other thing that I just thought about, it just comes up as well. Okay, you go find some shack and pound that's, we have a condemned person, go away, wipe by that, so you have you're owning a residence. You get someplace. I mean, there's obviously always that way to get around that. Yeah.
There's a lot of information here, I could just tell, and a lot of things that we really need to study, I think. I would like to table this.
Well, there's no action tonight.
This is just for discussion.
This is the introduction for the discussion. So,
to continue the discussion a bit.
I'm sorry if I interrupted your thought there.
No. The second, not only was the isolated accessory structure brought up, but Mayor and I discussed, apparently in the past, the discussion of chouse type structure. So I've also included a definition of that, and I've also included, for your consideration, having a chouse as a conditional use in a residential area, R1 and 2 as well. And there are several listed exceptions that I've gleaned from other ordinances that I was able to put in. That would also be something for consideration. Some of the ordinance also has been drafted to beef up, probably a good term. Zoning ordinance that that the town has to provide better definitions of terms for enforcement and things of that nature, including more clearly define the role of the administrative official. So there are several changes. Tell us, it's a pretty hefty document as it is. I think they're warranted that you take the time to consider.
Anything else? There's a little bit as far as the board of adjustments and things. I think you can explain your color coding and peroxide.
Sure. So as we're looking through the document, it's presented to you in redline format. If there is a line through the text, then that is being crossed out. If there's a line under the text, that is something that we added.
Okay.
Anything
else? I supposed to come get a copy of that today, Amanda, or could I get a copy of that?
Oh, I think that's the question, and that was where first of all, does the council want to address this? I mean, do you want to take this on? That was number one. And when I say by taking on now, okay, we start the process for review and going through an ordinance thing, and since this is an initial draft copy from the city attorney, whether or not, how do we share that? Or do we,
what?
Like if we're going to do an ordinance to it, then it has to be put into the physical, obviously for the hearing and all that kind of stuff. This may not be ready for that yet.
Bruce and I'd like to just read this before we take anything with it because there's a lot of changes in this. And
there might be future changes after we've had our discussions.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
So is it fair to say that once you guys have gone through it and then if there is a special meeting or what have you, then when that is set, then we can certainly get your materials prior to that so that you have it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, this, as far as I'm concerned, this is just a working document that doesn't have any official bearing it at this point. These are suggestions. You know, it's just a working document to get started.
Foundation.
Okay, so I guess my question to the council, Caitlin, are you listening or can you hear the discussion?
Yes, I can hear the discussion.
I know you probably haven't got this either, so. Then the first question is, obviously, is this, we're ready to start down this path, the number of these things we talked about, this is the first time it's been put down on paper so we can actually start looking at addressing conditional use, tightening up some definitions. We obviously have a reason for some of this, too, as part of the request. So if that's the case, and you're ready to take, there's no action, there's no vote or anything tonight. This is the introduction. And then what do you want to do for a timeline? Do you have one in mind?
Personally, I think let's just take a month that we can read this and then come back and start. I wouldn't look at anything until next August, whatever our date is, next meeting, because this is right now it's overwhelming.
There's a lot of stuff in there to run through the brain.
I realize that, Steve, but we kind of want to move as soon as we possibly can. Could you put it on a first ordinance reading?
Not until I'll vote no on that. I really need to read this because we're looking at changing.
You could change it as a first reading. No?
You can't really have substantial changes after a first reading without doing another first reading.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just got a lot of information for me to.
So yeah, without having read this, I don't know which way I really want to go, to be honest.
Now, side with those two, too, because there's a lot of information that
we're looking at a lot of changes for our future and
right,
make a rational decision without really investigating and researching. It makes me nervous. I'm just being honest. That's all.
And that's why I was asking that if I could get a copy of it and read it, and you said no until it's just because maybe I could see something that I could change to make it more qualifying for you.
As far as your request is concerned?
No. I mean, I understand where you're at. I spent 24 years on council. But at the same time, we don't want to go into wintertime with this. We want to get it built. But
and I understand that completely, what you're saying.
But like if there was some other option that I could take to just change something. Maybe not. That's the thing. I don't know what I could say to change. Realize it's in your, the ball's in your court right now. So.
There is a lot in here, more than I thought was coming. So, but at the same time, I want to make sure that at least the council on Okinawa's remote right now has the ability to continue to actually address this along the way, so that we know that we're not just going to come to the next meeting and then go over it again because there's a lot in there. So how about we put in a touch point somewhere in here in about 2 weeks, which is not a decision point to do a.
I'll be honest with you. I've got some issues coming up. I don't know if I'm going to have time to revisit 2 weeks and research it with this.
So, as we noted with the airport, the real potential that we're going to have a special meeting. I think that's just the touch point to make sure that we're tracking and see how everybody is. Because that, there won't be any action at that meeting, but it will let us know where we're at and if we can. At least get some feedback from the council so that we can get with the city attorney to start understanding his need. And, you know, you can break off different pieces, obviously, and kind of sort through that. So that we're on the right track. Or we're on the wrong track, or there's not, you know, this isn't going to work. So we obviously, you know, it's not a, it's a thing. So now that we've opened the door, I don't want it to be a 4 or 5 month process either, because most of what we've talked about here was already been talked about. It's just hasn't been actually physically put into a form where we can start dealing with it. So now it has. So can we, and when I say touch point, that's provide some feedback, start providing that feedback so we know where we're at, seeing stuff like that. Because we have a building permit in now, but there are more trailer ones coming in. So, for things.
So we can pay before the potential August meeting.
We don't have some of the timeline beyond that. So, I think that's where the touch point go through and decide, okay, is this, are you far enough along to have something in the August meeting? Or is it not enough to to doing it, which is fine. It can go either way. So,
so what if under the old ordinance that we did a variance, and then you could still do your new ordinance and take precedence over the old ordinance down the road?
Well, I think the question, that question, unfortunately, has probably already been answered by the attorneys. Our current ordinances don't allow it. That's why this is the road we've got to take in order to do anything with it, because the old ordinance does not allow doing that for what you've submitted for.
Not even with a variance.
So even under the current ordinance as it exists, the use that you are proposing for the structure that you intend to build is not a permitted primary use. It's not a permitted special exception either. So it would still necessitate an amendment, even under the ordinance as it exists right now, to get the use that you're hoping to get. If you want to build a new house on that, permitted use, they can rubber stamp that building permit.
I don't think anybody's
going to do it. Well, maybe not. but you understand, because that's where we went through on it. We can't do a variance on it. I understand that they probably could have been done in the past and they were done wrong, and we've had that discussion or that with the council. You know, there were things that were running here the last several years, the longer, that the variance was just that was the button that hit, well, something to death. And it was a single thing that we were kind of on the road. And when you do walk through it a couple, three times, you start to understand the legal implications. You realize, well, that's not what's there, and that's not what it was intended to do. You know, their location is seemed like that was just the next step, but once it's into the ordinance, you can't, which then it makes it an issue back to the council for doing that too. So this is the next step to start doing something like that for some of those, which is to make that particular purpose to put up that kind of building.
So we were just the lucky ones that brought it up where it needed to change the ordinance. Is that kind of the way
it's always been that's an accessory building, and you need a dwelling in order to build an accessory building unless you're in commercial. And that's why there's certain buildings that are what you want to do, but they're in commercial property. And so that's the difference. You're in an R3. And so we have to look at what R3 is and what's allowed in an R3. And that area is an R3.
So could we change that as an R3?
Then we'd still have to go through the process of, I don't know how long it would be.
We kind of picked a location that we didn't think it was probably going to be used for anything else, and that we could improve on that land.
And that's something that I also didn't necessarily bring up. The amendment that's proposed is because that particular lot is R3, it may need to be rezoned before.
That's what, and he does have a point there, because it is at the end of the street, and that's why I conflict here for me personally. But if we would change that into a different area, that's a whole different concept that we would still have. We're not going to meet your August date that you want, you know, with changing that block.
And that's also something that I sort of addressed with can't spot. Change zoning of one particular lot.
You'd have to do that whole.
You need
that whole block there, or not the block, area probably from the Reformed Church.
Well, at least a couple of blocks.
Those blocks.
So. Well, we've already started. I brought that up 2 months ago, the northern piece there, to start rezoning to R1 for mobile homes. So this is just an additional piece to the south of it. That's fine. That still is an ordinance change, so that still is too. But we do need to address that because it doesn't need to be an R3. There's no purpose for that. And as far as you're not the first one that's done it. You're just the first one that you weren't living next to the lot where we could combine them because we've done that twice in the last year where somebody bought lots next to them.
Well, and that's
a different parcel, but they wanted to do in both cases. Well, one case put a garage up, and the other one a shed. So we had gone through this down this road, but they were able to combine and make full lots. So it took care of itself, and we didn't end up. We had some of this discussion before, but then we didn't go further because it
there's
self-corrected.
There's probably lots to the north of the ones that we own that would probably be occupied with something if that was changed to commercial rather than, and I don't know if they're even.
Well, the north of yours are mobile home, and those, again, that was already brought up here 2 months ago. We will probably change that zoning to R1. And that actually has one of those islands that the attorney just talked about because there are 2 months that are vacation, so somebody could put a camper there 20 years ago, which probably shouldn't have been done then. So there's some correction here. As far as that being commercial, that's an entirely different discussion.
Well, and maybe that's the wrong word I'm using, but maybe it should not be zoned residential.
Yeah, I don't know. The catch there is we really don't have anything else other than that. So we've got commercial, highway commercial, industrial. None of those probably will ever fit that area. So I don't know how to.
Well,
I don't even know if there's another category that exists out there someplace to do that. So.
But there's probably going to be other people that think the way I did, even though it didn't fit the bill, but then maybe would want to put up a garage or a shop building or something, and that would be a perfect part of town to do that.
Yeah, now you're probably digging into those specifics, and I don't know if you can. I guess that's more research. Is there a way to designate? Can you even get down?
I think the only problem with the town's definition of commercial as it stands is the whole main idea of Main Street, that you can have multiple commercial districts. So it would be possible to have more than one commercial zone area. And then revisit the definitions of this district.
Well, I'm going to turn it late tonight, being as we can't go any further. I'm not going to keep you here the rest of the night. I want to go home. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as you walk out the door, I think everybody can recognize that that's, he is 100% right. That's a lot there that because of its location and, a street being closed and this is a way to do it. Unfortunately, we have to make sure that this is is made so that all of a sudden, there's two lots for sale over here and somebody just doesn't buy it.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so we'll leave it to the lawyer.
So do we need to have a date then to continue? First of all, just a touch point back so that we know what August. So is that fair to 22, 23, 24? We won't know the special date until obviously the Dunning folks get back and let us know. And that's just at least that can just be a touch into the office. But this is where we're at and we think we can. Or just need to have this discussion again in August. I think we're okay saying, I mean, August is okay, so, and not having a, you know, an actual, having an actual ordinance change ready to go, which puts us 10 days out, I think that's fine. So, we can touch into August, so.
Can we research, just, I'm sure there isn't anything, just to see if there is, like, a catch-all?
That's kind of his area, so. And this is relatively new. I mean, this is all.
Yeah, this is creeped up, all of us, I think. Well, me.
What do you mean by
it? Is there a, you know, because I do, that street, it's dead end. No one's going to build a house probably there. It, you know, there's a, makes a lot of good points. But at the same time, we have to protect the rest of the town. Is there something that we could work out for that specific area?
So, Edwin, that street is a dead-end street as it exists now, and hopefully in perpetuity, so long as that prison's there.
I can't see that ever reopening as a street.
Well,
but I know. I
would not go that far. It's a dead end street as it's designed now because it goes to the edge of the city limits and then turns left, which was actually outside the city limits too. That does not mean that there's something doesn't change there and that becomes city property or city limits and that street can continue to go north.
Huh?
You know, it might not happen next week, but it could happen in 20 years. So, and we run into that situation now at this other, on the Chestnut Street side with that zoning and having that little vacation island. This Chestnut Street can't go any further north because when it was purchased and brought into the city, now there are two lots at the end of where Chestnut Street can continue to go north that are planted out, sold in our two vacation lots in this little island that's between a residential and a mobile home PTA. We already know it should have happened, and well, I think we did that before. That's not a thing, but that's the island component that also has limited that potential there, and we've had homeowners on the north that have, you know, wanted to, you know, well, we can't, because it doesn't matter, we can't extend the street until the city somehow gets that property or gets it built. So we probably don't want to put ourselves there, but at the same time, yeah, that becomes a somewhat less than desirable property. It's got to clean up. So it's the example we had two before or last year where it was very easy to combine the lots, which was very beneficial for everybody, if not one. So, and yeah, when you say catch-all, I don't really get it. And the commercial is not an option. I'm not sure that that's apparently how that works anyway, but that's the same thing. It's not going to be a commercial area there because you can't get to it and you can't get out. So that's, it doesn't matter, and that's where they do this, and then we get this. This starts getting it in a broader sense, kind of on the path. It may not be on his timeline. I understand that, but that's for his. But then, how do we address a certain? And I don't know that we can't. That's, you know, that's part that probably is talk. Or even a variance or something here that just said you can do that.
I can easily make the case for a variance from the corner lot on that. On a corner lot, you have to have a 20-foot setback on the front and side.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely see the hardship being expressed that, well, I can't use that side road anyway. It creates a hardship for me to build such a small structure on this piece of property when I can't access the side of it anyway. know, I could make the case for a variance if there was a primary structure that was permitted on that lot.
I guess that's kind of where I was. I don't know how big this building is he wants to build, but if there was enough room for eventually someday down the road, a small home.
But even that has to be defined. Yeah. And then there's some further definition in there, too, as far as, again, when we're talking about a garage, regardless of what it is, it's three vehicles with no more than one commercial. So that is still an open definition of what size is that accessory structure. So. And it's a good one and something we need to be addressed. So I would, you know, and maybe this isn't the right, this is the starting point, but let's please try to keep on this so that we can get something accomplished. And then we know there's other areas that need to be addressed. So.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Dealing with that, what about the area homeowners around there? Do they have a say so in objecting to that? I mean, I can see where Julie, I think it is. You know, she's done a lot to improve her house. That might devalue her house. And then Jared, I might have the wrong one. So they're trying to sell their home. That might, I don't know. That's all.
That's it. Go ahead. That's procedurally part of a conditional use permit application is it's a notification at least to surrounding property owners within a certain distance so that they can come and present the case at the public hearing that is required in conditional use consideration by the board.
I have no objection or no interest in it, but I'm just asking.
It's that one stinking place in town that it sucks that this is where it came up on because it's just, it has a lot of things going on at once. And I guess the best I can say is that they've been pretty good to deal with at the same time. There's a little definition of one of the things that's probably just where we're at over a number of years of doing some things and where people are getting frustrated why they can't just come in and get a building permit and walk out the door and build because things were done wrong in the past. And
I understand.
And
it's a tough situation.
And they're so far along. Well, you know, fortunately they didn't pour any concrete or get taken down that road. Gave a call and said, you're doing something, you need to come get a building permit. And I certainly will take full responsibility. That's, we could have easily sat here with a variance thing and Gary could have looked at me like, what the hell are you doing? and we didn't because that's what we have attorney for is to look this stuff over and it always kind of smelled a little off as other things, but I didn't think it was quite that far. But there are some other things. So, it's nice to, that's that one stinking lot in town where this probably is a decent thing to do, but it's only probably going to build a house there. You know, most of the other ones, the two lots down this, you know, down the block here, probably shouldn't really even be thinking about this because, well,
yeah. Outside of commercial zone two, right across the street.
So anyway, and I'm not afraid to say that. Anyway, they've been good to work with, and I know their patience and their frustration, and like everybody, we kind of have a difference. So the best I can do is ask, and Kaylin, you're still there. Let's, you know, mature this. It's just a garage building, so it's not an emergency construction over there and everything, but at the same time, we can mature it at least over the next course of the next 3 months to address this, and maybe somewhere in between our current existing things, there's something we found here that says, well, maybe we can do something with that, and because of its location, to where it is and what's around it. Maybe there is something that's, that already exists there that you can do both. Which will lead us into the next building permit. Because this one is commercial. So hence it's in front of the council. So this is for the First Savings Bank for building permit in your packet. And so to explain this, I met with the bank, and I think everything here is generally pretty good. They are moved, they have purchased the property from Springfield Development Corporation off of Highway 37E, just north of the credit union. They're going to build a new bank there. Their plans are in there. Unfortunately, I probably, I understand why they need to go there, because what they want to do and drive in to do some more modern facilities and provide some modern center conveniences, drive up ATM and things like that. So to do that, and so that's the consideration here. What is the building itself? You can see a little bit in there. It's no concern. It's going to be constructed by Age of Lumber Company. Very nice facade. You did show me some pictures today, stone and those items in front. So 37 by 54. And the multiple things are in here. For the views, I kind of direct you to the overhead view. Because those are probably the one things that we need to discuss city-wide. I'm not concerned about the building or any of those items. Because of its location, our city ordinances, if you're outside, if you're further than 250 feet away from a current sewer line, then septic is an option. There are over 400 out there at this time, so that is permitted. We're not in the plans, or we don't have any plans at this point to dig sewer out there any time in the future, so that's okay. And they are planning on putting the septic in a way such that should sewer get out there, they're able to connect. They will pay the sewer. Water is the other ones. City, our ordinance requires or has us for new developments to pay the 70-30 split, where the city pays 70% to get the water line out to that location, and the requester pays the other 30%. That's to get to their property line, necessarily where they want it on their property line, but wherever the city plans to do it. So the current plan now, and pretty much the only feasible plan about a significant change to the other property, is to bore down the ditch in the state right away, which we have a request submitted to do that. It's a kind of a big number out of the question, so and it is the way that we do this. So again, kind of like a little bit of some things here with variances. There probably was our thought 20 years ago or 15 years ago when the credit union was built. That makes this a little tougher, but the estimate right now for boring off to there for water line is $5,500. I was boring, so that puts the city cost at about $38,000. So with that, I do recommend some other thing. As far as structure, everything on the building permit is done. They have done the request in state to allocate or to change the access from agriculture to commercial. That's already been approved. So, and I have no reason to expect that the utility line in the right of way will take any modification to that. So, I have also requested from the state that they'll wait till next year to do a traffic study out there to look at moving the speed limit from where it starts at 25 by 14th Street, pushing that to the north, since there will be potentially, it looks like, six different approaches right in that area. So that they're very open to doing it. They're just going to wait until this, if this goes in, they'll wait until it goes in and gets a little maturity so they can come back and do their traffic studies and see if it will meet the criteria since it's a state highway. They have, of course, the bank has done some other things, some other prep. So, that then up for discussion. Again, I don't see any issue with it. I think it's okay. Number of other things that go with it, but the building permit itself, again, our development cost is a little there, a little up there, but again, we're obligated to do so. At this point, unless we pour a significant more amount of money in a very short period of time, there really isn't anything to do differently, and that would require the development corporation to probably come up and start doing some things. So,
I'll make the motion to approve the First Savings Bank's building permit.
I'll second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion to approve the First Savings building permit as requested. Caitlin has seconded. Any additional comments, discussion, or questions on that permit? Okay, hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed, nay. Okay, so that building permit passes. We'll get it going. I know they're ready to go. There are obviously other things that go with that. I've visited with Jason, so... clearly, they have to do things in order to do that, and there just isn't any better space. But they are not abandoning the building. They are going to get it redrawn. Potential future uses. So they're going to invest equity in the building. All right, restroom and changing room access.
I should have that all in front of you. This was basically the policy came down from SDML as well to correspond with House Bill 1259, basically taking the reasonable steps so that members of the opposite sex are not using the other bathroom, basically. So, like I said, this policy was trained from SCMF.
Pretty straightforward and common sense. I'll make a motion to approve the restroom and changing room access policy.
For a second.
Second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion, Larry seconded to approve restroom and changing access policy as presented for the city of Springfield. Is there any other discussion or questions on this? See that I think what Southport Municipal League has prepared for the cities. Okay, hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Opposed, nay. So that passes, and so that policy will come into effect. All right. No other business at this time. I do want to touch on one other thing. I'll just kind of let's go back to the ordinance and tell those things work real quick. So it's... we go down that road and change the change in ordinance. Two meetings and 10 days. The requirement is to have the notification out 10 days prior, but the requirement also includes putting it in your newspaper of record, which means for most meetings for us, it has to be in there 2 weeks ahead of time, so we have to be a little bit further than 10 days out, and then obviously post it on all these things under public hearings, first and second reading. And then, as I remember correct, the effective date is 20 days after.
20 days after publication, following the second
reading. Following the second reading. So that adds, potentially another 2 weeks, I think, maybe.
For an emergency.
Yeah. This is just equipment.
Your imminent public safety.
But what it does, even though the ordinance doesn't take effect for 20 days, obviously, the gray area, somebody wants to work with it. Start prepping it. So, okay. It's 9:30, so we'll leave it there because I got to leave at 6. So.
I just have something. The pool. There's a lot. I got 19 areas that the cement is in bad shape. The lifeguard told me today there's 3 incidents of kids getting their feet cut. And I got pictures on my phone. And look at them. You're talking about uneven cement where it's been patched, and then the patchwork is broken off, and it's jagged. And we're looking at some areas between probably 1.5 to 2 inches away with jagged area. And we really need to get those areas fixed. Well, it's going to do it properly, you're going to have to re-cement everything.
Actually, to do it properly in this day and age, we did the pool liner 2 years ago, right? So that came in. The natural progression for that is the membrane that goes in the concrete, so you're not in the concrete anymore. That is the next probably natural progression on that. I did not have a cost, so pool liner was $70,000 for that. The grant, the LWCF grant, the Wilder, obviously, that's a 50-50 grant. For that piece, that's the recommended, that's the way to go versus trying to patch concrete and grind it and roll it and stuff for the future. So. If somebody wanted to find out how much it costs, I'm going to stop them. But you can expect that for any kind of grant purposes, that's probably 2 years out. And again, we're back to the capital improvement plan. The pool is a part of it. So, if we are having issues and if we're having some injuries, I guess no joking aside, if somebody does want to take a look at and at least see what the cost is, so we need, that's the starting point for a lot of the stuff. It's how much does it cost, and takes about 2 to 3 years to work through any kind of process like that. So if we're doing it entirely within the city and the state, you find out what it costs tomorrow and add about 20%, figure that by the time you get to the end. Okay. All right, and I think we're taking care of our executive session for personnel, but we do have legal items.
Terry?
Yeah.
I'm certainly willing to provide an update on the properties.
Anything significant or outside here?
I think it's really cool.
Okay. All right. Then in that case, we have nothing else for that. So, Caitlin, are you still there? Do you have any comments before we leave?
No, I don't.
So with that,
I guess you could be thinking about us. My husband should be coming home in the very near future.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Good deal. So, okay, with that, summer ball programs are complete. And those seasons have ended, so good for them. The 4th of July, we all survived entirely unscathed, but everybody did a good job there. And I want to make sure to recognize particularly our city folks and the fire and ambulance departments who put in a lot of time there. So, with that, I guess I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Exception.
Adjourn.
Second.
Okay. So Steve made the motion. Cheryl has seconded. We're adjourned. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those
aye.
The time now is 9:42 p.m. We are next meeting is August 4th at 6:30 p.m. But again, please make sure that the finance office is aware of where you will be, particularly 22 or 24.